Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hello, everyone, and happy Tuesday. This is your good friend, Patrick O'Dowd, joined, of course, by the lawyer himself, David Ungar. And we are welcoming you into another fantasticular edition of the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot for all of your sweet, sweet chair shot swag needs. Dave.
Yes, sir.
It's been a week. It's been a week, and I'm already, and the NFL has already made me sad. Of course, we record on Sunday, spoiler alert, so we don't have, we can't talk about the games that are currently going on, although in real time, as I am watching the score bug on my CBS Sports app, Chicago and Detroit are currently tied 7-7 after a beautiful first. Here was the story of the Bears in their first defensive drive against the mighty Detroit Lions, who looked decidedly pedestrian against the Green Bay Packers. We started off with a kickoff penalty, followed by a 35-yard gain, followed by another 30-some-plus-yard gain to Sam Laporta, followed by a touchdown for the Detroit Lions. Go Bears. Now, there's a lot of... So the Lions, with their two new coordinators, are experiencing some delightful growing pains as well. And so they, of course, immediately gave the Bears the touchdown back. And apparently have the ball still. I don't know what's going on. Oh, no, Detroit has it. Not sure like where my score bug is. I'm back into the land of stuck with crappy NFL coverage. So that's what we've got. But Dave, your Commanders took on what I would argue are the Super Bowl front runners after 2 weeks. If we're gonna be prone to hyperbole, like if we're gonna be those guys, we're gonna be like everybody else after a week in the season. Because that's what we do. The Kansas City Chiefs are washed. The Green Bay Packers are now the greatest football team ever assembled. But credit where credit is due. Your Commanders made it interesting late, but the Packers look like the real deal. They do.
Yeah, you know, and I've talked to Tony about it. We discussed it some on the recording on Friday, and I think like with the Commanders, I hated the game that Kingsbury and Dan Quinn called. I really hated it early on because I thought they came out way too conservative against a team like Green Bay. And that's not their identity. That's not what got them to the NFC Championship game. You know, when you come out running the ball with Austin Ekeler, and, you know, unfortunately, Austin blew out his Achilles later on and he's done for the year. But you just let the Packers settle into that defense. And you let them pin their ears back and come after Jaden. And you should have gone like right off the bat, attack, attack. They could never get anybody open downfield. I mean, I've heard people say, oh, the Commanders have good players, not explosive players. Deebo Samuel and Terry McLaurin can get open, but not when the secondary is not respecting the, you know, anything out there and they're just locked into this coverage. You're not going to get those looks. And
right.
It's weird. Like there were a lot on both sides, not just the Commanders, but like, I didn't see one roughing the passer penalty called, and there were some questionable hits from both teams on the quarterbacks. I'm like, wow, that seems a little late. Yeah, I thought defensively the Commanders played as well as they could for a team that was, you know, unit that was on the field most of the time. Lattimore didn't have a great game, but, you know, they didn't let Green Bay settle into any sort of run game. Jordan Love missed some throws, but they, you know, Jordan Love is going to be the Packers' key this year.
I'm just so sick. I'm so sick of the fucking Packers finding the next guy. And the Bears can't find a guy. Like, we can't find a guy, Dave. It's not fair. And I'm not saying, yeah, I'm not saying that Jordan Love's going to be like Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers. But they just, they're such a well-run franchise. And when you look around at so many of these dysfunctionally run franchises, the Bears being one of them, the Cowboys being just spectacularly awful, as a franchise. The Cleveland Browns. I'm sorry. If you're a Cleveland Browns fan, you are a poorly run franchise. Your Washington Commanders for the longest time. We run franchise. And you know what happens in Green Bay? They just keep chugging along. And even their down years aren't really tragic. I want a Green Bay Packer down year. Please. Give me a Green Bay Packer down year, because I don't get that.
Not going to be this year, that's for sure. I think, you know, whatever, their defense is for real. And there is no doubt about that. That defense is for real. The thing that they impressed me with the most is just the consistent pressure they could bring with just four guys. You know, and then Micah's not even the one who's really on the line doing that stuff, right? It's the front four guys, and you bring Micah in at the last moment in a few places. And yeah, I thought the Commanders made a horrible mistake by having Connerly matched up with Micah Parsons for way too much of that game, left on an island with arguably the best defensive player in the league. And you know, Jaden Daniels was relatively humanized in that game. I mean, I credit him. I mean, I messaged you late in the third quarter, said I would bench him and put in Mariota. He's just getting killed out here. I'm glad they didn't, because Jaden got his legs under him, literally, and they did their thing. But I wanted to ask you about, like, you know, your thoughts on the Bears' first game, because that was depressing.
It was depressing, and yeah, I mean, it was depressing. Here's the thing, is we're so used to it as Bears fans. To have that first half go relatively well, you know, like, you get that first drive, you go down, you score the touchdown, you're pretty much in control of that game the first half, and then you let J.J. fucking McCarthy beat you in the second half. You know, we get that pick six. The offense, though, was just largely ineffective for much of that game in the second half. And I don't know if it's a reflection on Caleb Williams. I don't know if it's a reflection of the play calling. I think it is. I think it's a little bit of both right now. I still, like, you gotta, Caleb Williams has to be your guy at this point. You have no choice. Like, Caleb Williams has to be your guy. If he's not your guy, then I don't know where you go from here, because you've literally tried to draft the next hope in Bear football at the quarterback position for the last three major draft opportunities. Now, there was the colossal fuck-up that was, and it cost Ryan Pace's job, the Mitchell Trubisky drafting, when there's a guy in Kansas City who's pretty darn good that got passed over for Mitchell Trubisky. That was inexcusable. And I remember when we picked him, being like, that's certainly a choice. And on one end, you give credit to your GM for being like, to quote draft day, Mitchell Trubisky no matter what, to trade up to get Mitchell Trubisky when you could have had him at 7 or 8, wherever you were picking, because nobody saw what you saw. But you thought you needed to, you thought you were going to be the genius that saw this guy as a superstar, and he just wasn't. And then, you know, the Justin Fields experiment happened, and that guy gets like three offensive coordinators in three different seasons, and it's just a hot mess. Then we get to Caleb Williams, and we, you know, his first season, there's nobody going over film with him. Nobody's coaching him. Now we're here in this, you know, in our third era with O'Brien, and we're looking at what is he? We still don't know what he is. And so I'm not really, like, some people are ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Because the, you know, preseason, the backup quarterback in scrub time, you know, always looks like a damn all-star. So you're like, oh, we should bring in, I don't even know his name. And that's a problem. If you don't know his name, you shouldn't be playing him. So all of that is to say, like, I want to believe in this Bears team. I want to believe, I don't know. I want to believe in this team. But I also, you got to see it and show it. And right now, I've been through this too many times to believe in my Chicago Bears.
Yeah, they let that one get away. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
But speaking of teams that let him get away, I want to take a minute to call out Buffalo Bills fans.
Yeah.
And with all due
don't be puffing out your chest over your win.
Look, if you're a Bills fan, and my nephew's a Bills fan, one of the guys I work with is a Bills fan. If you have any history with your team, you don't leave no matter how bad it looks, because the Bills are this team that, you know, 35-3 against Houston, came back and won that game, and people were trying to get back in the stadium. And the same thing here. And yeah, sure, it was unlikely, but you know, I mean, that like my nephew is a perfect example. I said that's got to be one of the greatest comebacks. He wasn't at the game, but he's a Bills fan, so he was here in town, and he went and did something else. And I came back and I said, "Did you see the end of the game?" He goes, "Huh?" And he looks at the score. He goes, "I don't believe this." And I'm like, "You and I did the whole thing from Billy Madison. You blew it," that sort of thing. So it's going to be so hard to get a better game than that for the rest of the year. I mean, I know it's week one and hyperbole be thy name, but man, the Ravens are just snake bit against Buffalo. But
yeah,
what else did Derek, you take away Derek, from week one?
Derrick Henry doesn't fumble that football if 9 times out of 10. Right. And if Derrick Henry doesn't fumble that football, it becomes a just short comeback that, oh, they tried really hard, but it just didn't pay off. And so on that end of it, you do feel for him a little bit. I think the other big thing, I think the Kansas City Chiefs look gettable this year. They've looked gettable the last couple of years. They're still a very good football team. They're going to make the playoffs. And I think
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Is tonight a must win for Kansas City? Do they have to beat Philadelphia in the Super Bowl rematch? Are they, if they're 0-2, I agree. I think in that division, the AFC, unless the Chargers really get for real,
right?
I think here's what I
learned. Like, it's still the Chiefs because here's why. Bills Ravens game, which I thought was the most consequential AFC game of the week last week, the one that we really needed to pay attention to on Monday night, the one where I went to bed after being like, I sent Ray Cash, Baltimore Ravens fan Ray Cash, a hilarious meme gif or something that was talking about how Derrick Henry was running roughshod through the Bills defense. He sends a smiling emoji. I go to bed. I wake up the next morning and I get a message from Tunney being like, I can't remember what he said, but I was like, oh shit, the Ravens lost that game? And went back and looked. That game kills your confidence in both teams. Because the Bills should have never won that game, and the Ravens didn't look like they had it to close it out. And you got to close out football games. You have got to close out a game on the road against a contender like that when you were that in control. Like, that so in control that, as you mentioned, teams left. And Kansas City is too well coached. They're still very talented. And until you prove it otherwise, they're the best team in the AFC. You can't deny it. Travis Kelce may be busy working on his wedding or whatever, but they've already got the next tight end. They've already got their receivers. Their defense is suspect, but they don't need their defense to be amazing. They just need them to be good enough. And that's what the Red Chiefs have done for years. They're just good enough, right? Good enough.
Yeah, they have. But I will tell you the team that through one, and I'm watching the first quarter here on Red Zone, the team that's in the most trouble right now, the Miami Dolphins. They're awful.
They
got annihilated by Indianapolis. They're down 12-0 to the Patriots at home in the first quarter. There's a big problem in Miami.
Everything is bad in Miami right now. Like, everything
is
bad.
Rough.
And that was a team that had aspirations. You know what I mean?
Before Tua got hurt last year, they were good. And since then, and I think, you know, and I'm sure we might be talking about college coaches who got the axe just this morning, but Miami's coach.
We're gonna talk a few things about college football.
Miami's coach has got to be who is that? McDaniel, or is that who the? I forget Miami's coach. It doesn't matter because I think he's probably gone pretty quick here. Can't go getting worked by New England at home. You know.
Reedy, here's what's hilarious is I'm currently looking at the scorebug, right? And I'm going to click on the box score for this game because you know how they have stats for like the game leaders in those little, like if you go to like a score, it'll be like, you know, Derek May, he's got 89 yards and 2 touchdowns passing already. For Tua, there are no stats recorded. Tua is 0 for 1.
Ball on offense? Okay, 0 for 1.
He's 0 for 1. It would appear that they had a beautiful 3-and-out that resulted in the 0-for-1 drive. So it looks like 2 rushes for 5 yards total, though it looks like it was a 7-yard gain followed by a 2-yard loss and an incomplete pass. Like, that's a bad football. That's bad football. That's bad football. And the Patriots are not a good football team. They are not expected to be this year.
Miami's got talent. I mean, whatever's going on with Tyreek Hill, I mean, could he be traded? You know, and if I'm the Commanders, I'm looking at Miami and thinking, explosive playmaker? Well, there's a possible solution. You want somebody to stretch the field, but do you want somebody with all that baggage? And probably not for a franchise that's been riddled with poor player personnel decisions for decades.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it's not good. Not good, Bob. Nothing else really exciting going on right now. I do think another team that I felt awful for, Seattle Seahawks, losing one late. Their defense just couldn't get off the field last week. I remember watching that in my free trial of Red Zone. Thank you, free trial of Red Zone. Now I don't have you anymore, NFL score bugs, because I'm not paying for you. I refuse. Fuck off. Sports shouldn't be that hard to find. It is what it is. All right. We are going to take our first commercial break, and then I have a lot I want to talk about with college football and not a lot of time. And so, yes, there is one major coaching change that has been announced. Another one that is on the verge of being announced. Has it been announced yet, or is it just being speculated? We'll find out.
Two coaches got fired this morning.
Did they make the change at Virginia Tech?
Yep.
I didn't see that Virginia Tech had announced it. So anyway, all of that coming back. We'll talk about that when we come back. So stay tuned. You are listening to the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore. Everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Make sure you head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to get all of your Chairshot shirt swag. Chairshot swag. It's great stuff. Shirt swag, shirt, chop, all that fun stuff. Get it at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. I love college football so much. My favorite thing about college football is we are now at a place where we can actually evaluate teams. And two schools have already evaluated their teams pretty strongly. One in Dave's neck of the woods, and the other is Greg DeMarco's alma mater, actually.
Virginia Tech?
But yeah, he's a Hokie.
Wow.
Yeah, he that's where he met his wife.
Nice.
I haven't seen it happen yet today, but according to Pete Dammel, about 40 minutes ago, sources announced that Virginia Tech plans to fire Coach Brent Pry. He's gone 16-24 through four seasons. He's owed $6 million in a buyout, which in this land of college football coaching is a low buyout. But when you lose by over 40 points at home to Old Dominion, you're done. You're just done. And it breaks my heart to see, because Virginia Tech used to be a program. Virginia Tech used to be a big time program. And Michael Vick was fun. Beamer Ball was fun. You know, my best friend, he talked about how much they suck the last time that they watched it. And you can't be surprised. You can't lose like that to Old Dominion. It's been a dumpster fire in Blacksburg for quite some time. I don't think Pry was the problem, but it's not ultimately the only problem. I don't know who can go to Virginia Tech as a coach unless it's Shane Beamer leaving South Carolina to go home and take over for his dad's team. And maybe that does something. But you're in the SEC. If you're Shane Beamer, right? Yes. Why would you go to a dying ACC?
That is very true. Virginia Tech, that's one of the elite programs. I mean, that is a program has been at the top.
It is not an elite program. Used to be an elite program. It is kind of a dead program right now.
Pry what? I'm looking at this. And yeah, I'm getting conflicting reports whether he's been fired or just expected to be fired. I think, you know, when you get
if Pete Dammel's reporting it, it's going to happen. Yeah. It's just a matter of time. They just the school hasn't announced it yet.
Fry is 16-24 through four seasons.
Right.
That's not going to cut it in Virginia Tech. Yeah. Nope. Not for with a program with the pedigree of Virginia Tech. That's just not going to work. Yeah. I don't know who takes over for that. Good luck. Well, good luck finding somebody there or the other program we're going to talk about.
And speaking of good luck finding somebody to fill your spot in what is one of the most I don't know if boneheaded decision is the way that I would say it, in fairness, but I will say it was puzzling, to say the least, when UCLA announced that they were hiring Deshaun Foster last year after the departure of Chip Kelly. No.
Kelly, yeah. It was Chip Kelly.
I feel like I'm getting people confused. Anyway, as he left for Ohio State to become the offensive coordinator there, helps lead the Ohio State Buckeyes to a national title. And UCLA was in a pinch because he left relatively late and in a bad spot for UCLA to find a new head coach. Yeah, Chip Kelly was right. Chip Kelly coached the team for 5 years. Deshaun Foster took over last fall, 2024, and it was announced today. UCLA has announced this one. This one is official. After an 0-3 start to the season, he's out. Out as head football coach at UCLA. And again, just they've been a non-competitive football team, you know, and they made news in the offseason because they picked up Nico, I can't pronounce his last name, in what was this interesting little quarterback swap for between Tennessee and UCLA, that, you know, Tennessee's 2-1 now, lost a heartbreaker to Georgia. And I mean, heartbreaker to Georgia. And you've got UCLA just a complete dumpster. I wish they were on the Illinois schedule. Instead, we got USC.
Well,
looks good.
They do. And I sent you some stuff yesterday when you're getting trolled by the Pac-12 and the Big Sky, like UCLA was yesterday. Yeah, you knew the writing was on the wall, that this was not going to sit well with the Big Ten, who's sitting here looking at one of their members, and they're like, oh, fuck no. And I'm sure there were some people on the phone with the regents at UCLA saying, you guys got to do, we're the Big Ten. You guys are getting beat by Mountain West teams. Not just beat, but, you know, yeah, they came back
against UNLV
by New Mexico with less than 10,000 people in the stands at the Rose Bowl. At the Rose Bowl. And one of my best friends went down there because they were practically giving these tickets away. I left in the beginning of the third quarter. It was still a close game then, but you could tell this wasn't going well.
Right.
The premier colleges, that there is. And geez, you look at their schedule. And I said this to you, Maryland, maybe if Maryland plays like absolute ass when they go down to Pasadena, maybe UCLA can get that win. But otherwise, this could be an offer.
Northwestern is the other one. Northwestern does have good corners and a solid defense, but they're not a dangerous football team by any stretch of the imagination either. I want to be fair to UCLA. And when you lose your coach in February, and you have to find someone to lead the program, you're taking a risk. And this is an unfortunate side effect of just modern college football and coaching searches and hirings and all this is, and we didn't even talk about this last week, but the same thing with player recruitment. Most of the recruiting cycles were over by the time that Deshaun Foster takes over. So what are you going to do in February to get a team ready come August? And so they outkicked their coverage last year too, which was the other thing that's really interesting. And what I do think people aren't giving Deshaun Foster credit for is he took a team that nobody expected to win a game last year. And I think they went 5-7, if I remember correctly. They were in a place to possibly make a bowl. So I do want to say I think Deshaun Foster can coach. I just think that was too big of a job for your first ever head coaching job. I think that would have been tougher.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Not head coach. Good assistant coach. You need some more seasoning in that. Yeah. Not yet. Maybe someday. But yeah, you're looking at UCLA and like who could they get in there? I mean, ideally, and I don't think he's interested in it, but as kind of a quasi Bruins fan of my own, you know, Maryland's my team and that sort of thing. But I've been to enough UCLA games to say, yeah, I like these guys. I like the Bruins. Man, I wish Troy Aikman was actually looking to coach, but I don't think he is because
Why in a million years would he stop being a play-by-play? And why would you? I will say this. I hear this happens a lot where analysts get a lot of love and be like, this guy should coach. And maybe they can, but sometimes I honest to God for UCLA, and they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. And the same thing for Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's first call should be to Shane Beamer. And you make Shane Beamer say no. So you at the very least do that, because that school is important to Shane Beamer. UCLA, I don't know if there is a favorite son coach out there that you call and make to say no, but I also think that at UCLA, they're in their heads not going to make the rebuild hire. They're going to try to do what Colorado did and get Deion Sanders, or not Deion Sanders, but a Deion Sanders-like name. They're going to try to get a big fish, and they're going to have to settle. And that's the thing that's going to suck for them, is they're going to have to settle. And the road to rebuilding that program at UCLA is going to be a tough one, particularly when you've got USC down the street that looks like maybe they've got something cooking this year. Granted, they haven't played anybody, much like the University of Indiana hasn't played anybody, so we don't fully know, but we can sense that mayhaps that it's good, that they're going to be pretty good this year. I think USC, I don't know if the AP poll has come out yet or the coaches polls have come out yet. I would expect USC to be ranked after taking care of business against Purdue. You know, they didn't mollywop. They beat them soundly. The game was never in doubt. They didn't mollywop them the way that they have been just crushing the inferior opponents they've been playing. That's what's going to be really interesting. But yeah, so two coaching changes there. I got a couple of other schools and games I want to talk about, because, you know, I want to talk about another pair of hot seats and coaching changes I see as imminent. One, I think, is far more likely to happen than the other, because the other, it's going to cost the school $60 million to buy the guy out. But Florida is on track for a coaching change. Billy Napier, his seat isn't just hot. It is red hot. His pants are on fire and his flesh is melting sitting on the chair. Hot. Because this
ball sack, huh?
Dude, because this year was supposed, you have DJ Lagway, a quarterback. You had a pretty solid finish to the year before. You're thinking this could be the year where Florida kind of returns to being Florida. You're back to, you know, the Tim Tebow days and the talent that was there. And then you go out and you're off to a 1-2 start. And, you know, LSU didn't look particularly impressive beating Florida, but Florida really didn't do anything to force LSU to look impressive beating Florida. So the swamp, he's sinking in the swamp, Dave. And Billy Napier is not going to go out. Now, I don't think this team was ever a college football playoff team. Like, I don't ever think that was in the equation for them this year. And LSU is one. They're ranked number three in the nation, so they're really, really good. Though no team looks prohibitive except for maybe Oregon right now. Like, Oregon just blowing the doors off everybody. But I don't know, man. I don't like it. No, sir.
Yeah, Alabama looked good yesterday against a pretty decent Wisconsin team. I thought that was
I'm gonna check you on that one. Wisconsin, it, like, Luke Fickell is also on a hot seat. This is year three, and that team, like, they have athletes to go for about a quarter and a half with a team like Alabama. But Alabama was in control of that game from the start. Like, I'm sorry. I'm going to say no. I am giving you back your Wisconsin love. And I messaged Tony. I literally, before the game started or right after the game started and drives looked okay, I had messaged PC Tony and I said, think the Badgers can survive/hang with the tide. And his response was no. LOL. The Badgers may not win another game this season.
Yes.
And here's why.
They play UCLA.
Their schedule is the hardest schedule in the Big Ten. They actually have all three of the big three. They have to play Oregon, Ohio State, and Penn State. Like, that is not fair.
That's a tough one.
And the thing is, I actually think they're better this year than they were last year, but the schedule is so brutal that by the time, like, Illinois plays them, like, the next to last week of the season, and they could be on high quit watch by then, like, just players giving up.
I've got a specific team, school, and coach I want to get your take on.
Okay.
Notre Dame. Notre Dame 0-2 after going to the national championship game. Any reason to be concerned about what's going on in South?
No, because I think you're concerned. If you lose that game a different way, you're maybe more concerned. It was a back and forth game between them and Texas A&M. You know, kickers, man. Holders, man. That one I don't know that you put on the coaching staff. I don't think he's in trouble right now just because, again, he did go to a national title game. He's a national runner-up. And even though a lot of people say no, Notre Dame, which has those were the two toughest games on their schedule. Their first two games, Miami and Texas A&M, two of the toughest games on their schedule. Boise State, I think, is the next maybe challenging team. But if Notre Dame runs the table the rest of the way and goes 10-2, are you going to keep a 10-2 Notre Dame out of the college football playoff? Probably not, because that name has meaning as much as people. And it's so funny right now, because it's like every pundit forgot last year when Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois and people were like, that's it. This isn't working. This program is done. They're not making the college football playoff. And not only did they make the college football playoff, they made it to the title game. So the committee has shown that, much like in college basketball, if you're going to lose early. Like, don't lose late. And I think that's what's going to happen. And I think that's what's happened here, is they're going to lose. They've lost. They've lost now. I think that, you know, their schedule is pretty favorable the rest of the way. They're going to be okay. I really do. I really believe they're going to be okay. I don't know that they run the table, because I don't know that they're good enough to run the table. However, I also wouldn't be surprised if they did and made the playoff. No, my other coaching hot seat, but don't think the guy's going to get fired, because again, he's owed 16 if they fire him on a buyout. Dabo Swinney over at Clemson. Clemson, go. First of all, kudos to Georgia Tech, by the way, for getting, it was funny. I was watching that game and they are talking about, you know, Georgia Tech's been practicing a field goal fire drill, like get out here as fast as possible, get that kickoff. And then they run this, run a running play or whatever, doesn't get the first down. And I'm like, they don't have enough time to do this. And I was wrong. They did it. They got it out, got it up, set up. And that kick, hell of a kick. That kid got laid a lot last night. Good on him. Kickers deserve love, and you get love when you do that. Like, I'm sure he had three cheerleaders all over him by the time it was all said and done. But Dabo Swinney, who I feel like they snuck their way into the college football playoff last year, they don't look like a college football caliber team. They lost their opener to Florida State, where they got crushed. Then they had to come back against Troy to win in the second half, and then to lose to a Georgia Tech team who, while good and is deservedly, I think the first polls have come out, deservedly has come out and is ranked. If you're who you say you are, you should beat Georgia Tech. And they didn't.
Yeah, that was a hell of a game. There were a few games yesterday that were really, really good. Like Arkansas and Mississippi had a really good tilt for a while there. That was a fun one to watch. Yeah, that Notre Dame-Texas A&M game was just back and forth the whole time. Out here on the West Coast, kind of looking at Cal a little bit now. I mean, they took care of Minnesota yesterday. I know Minnesota's not, you know, the world beaters of the Big Ten, but that's a solid win for a Cal team.
Yeah. Minnesota is a team that they crack me up, because they're not an impressive team, but they always win 8 to 9 games a season. Just always do. The PJ Fleck school of ball control football. They run the ball. They slow you down on the defensive end, and you deal. That's what it is. So Cal looks good. Vanderbilt now looks pretty darn good. They handled South Carolina. And yes, I understand that Lenora Sellers went out. Lenora Sellers hasn't looked like the number one draft pick quarterback that everybody said he was. That's the other thing about Clemson. Everybody forgot that Cade Klubnik was Cade Klubnik for some reason, and that he's an average college football quarterback. He looked like an average college football quarterback. Next week, you start to see some wheat from the chaff games going on. Now we're getting into SEC season in earnest, Big Ten season in earnest. Probably the biggest game in the Big Ten next week is Illinois and Indiana, two ranked teams playing at Bloomington. A lot of questions as to whether or not Indiana is, it's just like last year, because Indiana, the way Indiana schedules, they make no apologies for the fact that they're going to play two lower level FBS teams and an FCS program. And so when you beat Indiana State, FCS team Indiana State, 73-0, it looks very nice. What is very interesting, somebody put up some graphics of the Illinois starting quarterback and the Indiana starting quarterback, Illinois' top receiver and Indiana's top receiver, and Illinois' top running back and Indiana's top running back, and literally the statistics look exactly the same. The level of competition has been different. I'm very intrigued. Indiana is a good football team. Illinois is a good football team, albeit a slow-starting football team, which is really they can't have against an Indiana. Because Indiana will make you pay in a way that Western Michigan, frankly, just won't. So we'll have to see what happens there. But this is exciting, and this is why I love college football. The end of that Georgia Tech Clemson game was why I love college sports. You don't see that in a professional football game ever. You just don't. They ran that special teams unit out there and nailed it. So cool. All right, man. Hey, we've got 40 minutes, and we haven't even talked about the fact that hockey starts in 30 days or less than 25 days. We're coming.
Yes.
So we got tons to keep talking about here on the Four Corners Podcast. So stay tuned for that.
We got basketball's going to start. Baseball's going to hit their playoffs. And playoffs I mean, this are coming. Is the best time of the year, man.
Patrick's going to Monday Night Raw this week. So, you know, he's going to talk about that. Adam Pearce has promised me CM Punk, AJ Lee, Seth Rollins, and Becky Lynch, as well as John Cena. So we got them all.
And you're on the short list for WrestleMania 43, right? For the travel package to Saudi? Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be line me up. Line me up to watch that bad boy. But anyway, Dave, we got to get out of here. Thank you everyone for listening. Tell everyone where they can find you out there in the interwebs.
Yeah, check me out on X and on Blue Sky at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word on Instagram and Threads. Yeah, good stuff. We just released another episode of Unidentified History. So keep your ears open, I guess. Something like that.
Yeah. And you catch me on the socials at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. You can catch me every Monday, Tuesday, sometimes Wednesdays, talking nerdy stuff on Mondays with Bandwagon Nerds, sports here with Dave on the Four Corners Podcast, and wrestling when Greg and I feel like it on Wednesdays on the Greg DeMarco Show. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Four Corners Podcast. Had a great time. Looking forward to an exciting fall sports season. Stick with us. We will have all the best analysis, or at least the best we can do. And I hope you all enjoy it. This has been the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chair Shot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.